Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support while you're at it. If you are on YouTube, make sure you enable notifications so they let you know every time we have a new episode go up and live for you to tune into. While you're at it, if you are sick and tired of spending $60 to $100 for the latest and greatest wrestling video game, stop immediately. Go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create your wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users, totally free. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, you want your name in the shout-outs like Harold in St. Louis and Mike in Lansdale, then go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast and sign up today. Don't forget, loyalty rewards are always in effect. $15 a month contributors get to co-host an episode of one of our live shows, and our $7.50 per month contributors can get entered into a drawing to also co-host an episode of one of our live shows. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this live episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. If you are streaming our service through whatever company you use to get our podcast, make sure you use the chat function so you can send your comments directly to us, and we will get to you live on the show. If you want to give us questions, comments, concerns, anything you want us to talk about in a future episode, go to the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line, 267-642-1160. You can give us our questions, comments, whatever you want us to talk about, but make sure the one thing you definitely give us is your name so we can give you credit for the conversation you create for the show. And we'll try to get to as many as we can of those in future episodes. Don't forget, if you're new to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, make sure you check out our homepage, frowrestling.com. You can preview the topics there that are coming to the show, come up with questions for the Sound Off line, check out the Independent Wrestling Events tab at the top of the page to find cards coming to your area. It's also where you can find my editorial blog, In Fro's Corner, where you catch articles that I write, my perspective on the world of professional wrestling, you might say. If you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.tsj101sports.com. They're a newer site, all sorts of things about pro wrestling. Check them out if you get the chance. Okay, so for tonight, the main headline of the show is it's prediction night. WWE Elimination Chamber is coming up tomorrow night. Got to get our predictions out there. And while we're at it, we got all kinds of other news tidbits to talk about. So let's get started with Brock Lesnar. It's in the news today. Brock Lesnar, his contract is up. Vince McMahon wants very much to keep him in the company. I think this is a two-fold issue for Vince McMahon. One, he does not want to see Brock Lesnar go to All Elite Wrestling, where Chris Jericho has already made it clear he would love to have a match with Brock Lesnar. Part two is, I think Vince McMahon, despite the fact that they've had a good working relationship in the past with UFC, I don't think he really wants to see Brock Lesnar make a return to UFC, because let's be honest, you know, outside of Daniel Cormier, there's not a lot of people in the heavyweight division for Brock to fear right now. And if Brock Lesnar were to take that match with DC and actually come out as the new UFC heavyweight champion, it may be a pathway where Brock does not come back to WWE for at least the short term, maybe even the long term. I think Brock has unfinished business in UFC. So apparently, according to the news stories I've seen, I saw them on Ringside News and all different websites today, that Vince McMahon is opening up the pocketbook as big as he ever has for Brock Lesnar, which is both encouraging and infuriating all at the same time. Because let's face it, it's a good thing that Vince has stopped. You know, this guy's a multi-billionaire. I remember seeing a statistic that the WWE is worth more money than every New York sports franchise combined. I want you to think about that. The Yankees, the Mets, the Islanders, the Rangers, the Giants, the Jets, the Knicks, the Nets, all those put together don't equal the global footprint of World Wrestling Entertainment. I want you to think about how big they really are, if that is true. Now, look, I haven't crunched the numbers myself. That's a statistic that was out there in the general public. You can go look it up yourself. But the reality of the situation is this. If you're that big, you better be able to pay talent to make sure the competition doesn't get them. Or at least make such an offer that it would be fiscally irresponsible of a wrestler to go elsewhere. On the flip side, the infuriating side of things is Brock Lesnar shows up 2 to 4 times a year, it seems. And it's been getting less and less. I don't know about you guys, but we just got done a huge spell of Brock Lesnar being Universal Champion, where for, you know, over a year, defeating CM Punk's reign and all this other stuff, the guy showed up like 6 times. in his entire reign. Not once was the Universal Championship defended on Raw. It needs to be a part of Raw if it's going to be Raw's championship. That's not a Raw championship. It's a WWE championship. What they ought to do is merge two championships and let one champion just float between the brands, but actually show up. That being said, if Vince is backing up the Brinks truck to try to keep Brock Lesnar, that's an issue. Because there are so many talents in WWE that go out there every week, every town, 6 days a week. Sometimes, you know, Ric Flair used to say 7 days a week, twice on Sunday. I don't know that it's that, you know, challenging of a schedule now. I think it's slightly lighter, not that much. But it's enough of a point that Brock Lesnar, he's like the six-minute man. He shows up, he has like an uber fast match, he only shows up a half dozen times a year, and then we don't see him again. It hurts the championship, it makes it so his matches are less relevant. I get it. I'll be honest with you, in the last couple years, his match with AJ Styles, his match with Daniel Bryan, his match with Finn Balor, and probably the match he'll have at WrestleMania with Seth Rollins, all will be fantastic matches. But let me be honest with you, we haven't seen versus Shinsuke Nakamura, which, by the way, happened in New Japan Pro Wrestling years ago. Look it up on YouTube. That match should happen in WWE. We haven't seen a new match between he and Kurt Angle. Think about the nostalgia. You know, we do the Brothers of Destruction versus DX. How about Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar? Probably Brock's best opponent all throughout his career. That hasn't happened since he's been back. You know, there are other matches for Brock. AJ Styles rematch would be fantastic and let AJ pick up a win in one of the matches, especially if Brock's not the Universal Champion anymore. And there's others. I mean, the reality is the opportunities for Brock are endless if he's actually a wrestler. Let's face it, the guy is a money man. He wants cash. If you're Vince McMahon, here's the deal. Yes, I'm thrilled he's backing up the Brinks truck to keep talent, because that's what you have to do if you're WWE to stay on top of the talent pool. However, you got to start building into those contracts more appearances. And if it takes more money, then pay them more money. If you could go to the NBA or the NFL and get these $30, $40 million a year contracts for their marquee players, I understand a basketball player plays 80-some games a year. You know, a baseball player plays 160-some games a year. You know, those types of things. I get the numbers are different. Even football players are 17, 18, 19, 20 games if you count, you know, preseason and practices and mini camps and all that stuff. It takes a bigger tear on your body. But I would argue that in the world of professional wrestling, I don't need you to be there for 82 games a year, 82 matches a year. But if you're going to be Brock Lesnar and you're that big of an attraction, I would like to see 25, 30 dates a year. You know, I would say at least an average of once every 2 weeks, the Universal Champion or someone of Brock's caliber should be up front and present. So if you told me that Vince McMahon was backing up the Brinks truck and saying, Brock, we're going to pay you $25 million a year, but you're going to be on a show every other week at minimum, I'm in. Sign me up for that. Now you think about it, if you deduct the number of days that he'd be on pay-per-views, he wouldn't even have to be there every other week. You could make it every third week, and that would be a lot more than what we get right now. And then make sure he's at every pay-per-view. Absolutely. Pay that guy whatever you got to. Make it. If you're making the kind of money that other sports are, then it's time for you to start paying like other sports are. Start paying Brock like that. Start paying several stars like that. You want John Cena to stop making movies, pay him enough money he doesn't want to make movies anymore. You know, the reality is, and I don't care what anybody says, John Cena can still go in the ring and he's still an attraction. It makes smart business sense to keep him out of as many movies as you can so you can keep him in the squared circle. Now, maybe he doesn't want to do that anymore because he's going to be 41 years old or whatever it is. But you got to start paying people the way professional athletes get paid. I understand it's a scripted combat sport, but at the end of the day, the rigors on the human body have been well documented, and that's what you got to do. You got to pay to keep somebody like Brock Lesnar out there and make sure that he's there more prevalently so we can appreciate his in-ring contribution in not just this interviews every once in a while and coming in the ring and dropping an F5 and showing up at 4 pay-per-views a year. Moving on to the next topic of the night, big name added to StarCast 2. This has been rumbling all week. The Undertaker will be at StarCast 2. Little bit of a weird situation. You got to understand, my understanding is he has a contract with WWE, but they're not going to use him at WrestleMania, at least as of right now. I think that's a horrible idea, first off. I understand you've got the women's match that's going to headline for the first time ever. What I have heard is they didn't want to have an Undertaker match because it probably would be his last match, and they don't want to take any of the excitement away from the women. You know, shout out to Lorelai, who wanted me to talk about Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch last week. Gave a little bit last week. I'll give a little bit more tonight. When you have a match of that caliber, it makes it very challenging to bring The Undertaker in for his last ever match and not pull away from that women's main event. So I get it. If that's the reason, but you still do something with the guy. He doesn't have to wrestle. If he's only going to have one more match and that's what you're saving him for, then do that next year, but have him at least show up. Have him have some role. Have him be an enforcer for something, or have him come out and attack somebody. Do something that matters so that he doesn't go unattended for. You know, he is a WrestleMania stalwart. He should be there every year till the year he dies in some way, shape, or form. That's what Vince should be doing. Talk about backing up the Brinks truck and paying people. Pay Taker to be there. But make him have a role, even if it's not in the ring. At the same time, when you see him go to StarCast 2 the night before the Double or Nothing pay-per-view, it makes you wonder what his involvement with potentially with Cody and All Elite Wrestling could be if Vince doesn't use him in the right light. And if his contract does run out, let's be honest, The Undertaker's never been one to like come out and really brag about his contract. So there is a chance. Maybe we don't know. Maybe his contract has run out. Maybe he's free to do whatever he wants. We know that he put on social media. He pulled all his references to WWE off his social media. Maybe there's more to this story than we know about. But definitely curious to see what's going on with The Undertaker. Going to address an issue that came up earlier today. All the sites, I don't care who it is, whether it's eWrestling News, WrestleZone.com, Wrestling Inc., they're all talking about it. Corey Graves, who has been married for 11 years to his wife, he's got three kids with her, and his wife posted online on Instagram some comments about Corey Graves and a alleged affair with Carmella from SmackDown, and that, you know, this woman was with him when he was, like, suicidal and alcoholic and all these other things she accuses him of. And now she says that he's having an affair with one of her kids' idols, Carmella. If this is true, it's the second time in as many years as, you know, that WWE has had a major personality get into one of these extramarital situations. Look, I know it's a wrestling show, but let's be real. I know they're on the road a lot. If that's a challenge, then you know what? Don't go on the road or don't get married. Because we already saw Bray Wyatt and JoJo break up that family. Now we're seeing Corey Graves and Carmella potentially breaking up his family. It's a sad situation. He responded with some crazy message, something about, you know, you better take down this post or WWE is going to be is going to sue you. WWE doesn't care about your private issue. You know, okay? WWE isn't going to sue anybody because you make a claim, especially if it's one that could be found, you know, verified. So, and I don't know what the woman's evidence is. Maybe the whole thing's made up. Maybe they just had a fight over the kids and she wants to leave him and she's making the whole thing up. I don't know. But it's still, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. You just don't get a good vibe from the situation. Corey Graves, hope you didn't do it. If you did, you should have done better. And all the pictures she put up of the family and stuff like that. What a sad situation if this is true. The other big sad news this week was Jimmy Uso getting arrested. This is the third time he's been arrested since his main roster debut with his brother. And this time, you know, he was driving with Cameron. Cameron. Oh, my heavens. Anyways, Naomi, I don't know how Cameron came up. Man, they haven't been a tag team in like 10 years, but whatever. Naomi, and apparently she went the wrong way down a one-way street. The cops pull him over. He's intoxicated. He gets out, takes his shirt off, squares up with the cops. Like, it looks horrible on the surface because he gets busted for like this public intoxication, disorderly conduct nonsense. But let's be honest here. He was in the passenger seat. He had someone driving him home because he was not able to drive. That's a responsible decision. Now, getting out of the car and squaring up with the cops, he's inebriated. He made the right decision while intoxicated to get somebody to drive him home, his wife. And then when he gets out of the car, of course he's going to do some stupid stuff. Do they really have to take it to this level? I don't know. I wasn't there. But the flip side of that is WWE needs to seriously take a look at their talent and be like, listen, we need to get things in line here. I saw an article earlier this week that Mark Henry is going to be at all the television shows, SmackDown and Raw, because he's going to be essentially like the enforcer in the back. Like he said, people are showing up late, people aren't caring about what they're doing around the back, it's becoming lackluster, and he's there to get people in line. I love that idea. My only question is, I don't understand why people like Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns when he was there, Braun Strowman, people don't just step up and be a leader and say, hey, listen, get here on time. or take your matches seriously, or pay attention to the show, or whatever it is that's bothering people. The days of where you could just show up whenever you want, that should be over. And if I was Vince McMahon, I would not write a contract again for a talent that didn't include a clause that forces talent to be on time or forfeit pay. That's the reality. Look, if I go to my job, I don't show up for work, I don't get paid. If you don't go to your job, you show up an hour late, you lost an hour's pay. They should be losing something if they're showing up late, if they're not taking the job seriously, and that's something hopefully Mark Henry will get straight. But when you see stuff like this, arrests happening multiple times, it's almost to the point where I almost hope WWE does let them go. Not because I want to see anything bad for, you know, Jimmy Uso, but because you got to have some level of accountability for your talent. If this was an NFL team, he'd be in a substance abuse program right now. Let's face it, right now, Josh Gordon from the New England Patriots didn't play in the Super Bowl and has been in a recovery program because of alcohol. This is the same thing that Jimmy Uso has. Alcohol. So help the guy out, get him some recovery, but take him off the road until he gets himself straight. If he can't handle the situation, then he doesn't belong on the road. I'm sorry, I know maybe that's an antiquated way of looking at things, but let's face it, we can't have situations where these guys are squaring up with cops. It just puts a black eye on the whole business. I know WWE released a statement saying that he's in control of his own actions and this and that. That's like the PR way of saying this, keeping our hands away from this and let the law handle it. But you need to handle it. You need to be a part of that process. Very exciting news for me this week for WWE is that Kushida, former New Japan Pro Wrestling Junior Heavyweight Champion multiple times over, one of the best light heavyweight wrestlers in the world, has been spotted at the WWE Performance Center. His signing is supposed to be hush-hush and quiet. Nobody's supposed to know he was there, but unfortunately some footage has gotten out that he is there. He is working out there. He will be probably the greatest addition to the WWE roster since Nakamura. And I'm not saying that to knock anybody else who's come to the company, but here's the up and the down. The upside is there is very few talents in WWE that can do some of the stuff that he can do. His finishing hold is amazing. If you don't know, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Turn into YouTube, find a match with Kushida. Do like Kushida versus Will Ospreay. Watch it. It's like a life-changing event for a wrestling fan. But for him to come to WWE, it legitimizes that 205 Live show, if that's where they put him. If not, he's almost in the blueprint of Neville, could come to and have a mid-tier championship run with an Intercontinental or U.S. title, and I think they should do something like that with him. But more importantly than all those things, what I'm afraid of, the downside, is that WWE's not going to know what to do with him. Look at Shinsuke Nakamura. Look at Asuka. You know, they don't have a great track record of really marketing their you know, foreign-born stars and making them, you know, shine the way they could. Yeah, great. Akira Tozawa got a one-day reign as Cruiserweight Champion. He's going to get a shot at Elimination Chamber. You'll find out my prediction for that a little bit later. But let's face it, most of the talents that they've brought over from New Japan or from All Japan or any of those places, Shimmer and whatnot, they stardom, they're not getting the kind of push you would expect for people who have their talent level. So I'm thrilled that Kushida's in the brand. I hope he really does great things for WWE. I hope it's the audience really indoctrinates him into the WWE universe. He is worth it. If you have never seen Kushida, find him on YouTube. But I still have some reserve about how they're going to handle him. Changes coming to the Total Divas show. Apparently the Bellas are out. Lana and Rusev are out. Several pages out. They're going to be adding Ronda Rousey and Sonya Deville, and it's just going to have a totally different feel to it. I understand that the Lana and Rusev were taken off because, for whatever reason, the demographic that was supposed to be targeted by their characters were not happy with their characters. They came off as not being friendly, not being warm and kind, or whatever the matrix was they used to grade these things. And Lana was actually offended by it. She was posting on Twitter and Instagram how upset she was about the reaction to her character on Total Divas, and talked about whether she's just not a likable person or something like that. But big changes to the show. Hopefully their viewership goes up because it's been dipping and dipping and dipping. And maybe that's why they're doing this. Shake it up a little bit. Ronda Rousey's been a huge draw for WWE for the whole year. And maybe this is something they need to do to try to bring new eyes and some of the old eyes back to the show to try to make it a little more successful again. Apparently the Bellas will continue with their Total Bellas experiment, and Miz and Maryse will keep their show going, but a whole lot of new faces going to be on Total Divas next time. Jake Hager, also known as Jack Swagger or whatever name he uses in Lucha Underground, Mike Strong or Jack Strong or whatever the heck his name is there, which, by the way, whenever they finally show their episodes, he's the Lucha Underground champion right now. He is set to make his second outing for Bellator at Bellator 221, opponent yet to be announced, but I'm shocked that he's getting back in the cage so fast after his first match. Bellator 221 takes place in like a month and a half. That's a beautiful thing. I know he wants to be as active as possible. He wants to get as much experience as possible, but he has to be careful too. He does have some skill sets that he needs to work on. He hasn't been hit in the face as much as some of these other guys. Doesn't always have the right instinct for what to do when that happens. And rushing into the cage, not exactly what I would do if I were him without getting some more experience. But then again, what better experience than being on a main stage? The only concern I have is he made reference in the post-fight interview for his first match that in a year or two, he wanted to be facing somebody like Ryan Bader for the heavyweight championship. That's a lofty goal to set, but it is a realistic one if you win. But if you rush into your matches and you're not ready and you start to lose, there's no way they're going to put you in a heavyweight championship match. And I think that's something he would really cherish. So hopefully he's ready for this. I don't know who his opponent's going to be, but hopefully, you know, I'm pulling for another early round knockout or submission just to help keep that career flowing. Impact Wrestling, serious trouble after this week. On Pursuit Network television ratings show that they only got 12,500 people to tune in to their episode on the Pursuit Network, and it's really a shame because it was one of the best episodes I've seen in a very long time. When you get to see Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix on an Impact Wrestling show win the tag team championship, and you get the announcement that they'll defend the championships against Rob Van Dam and Sabu, that should be big ratings pop. Johnny Impact doing great things with Brian Cage and Killer Cross and Moose. They're all doing great stuff. Unfortunately, nobody's seeing it. This channel is an incredibly terrible choice. They should have negotiated something with somebody somewhere to get this on a more exposed channel, because right now, their product is going to fade to nothing if they don't do something serious soon. They need to get a television deal in place that gives them exposure, especially with All Elite Wrestling making the moves they're making, on the verge, I'm sure, of making an announcement soon about who they're going to be broadcast by. A lot of people think it's going to be a Turner Network. Maybe it will. If it does, that pushes Impact Wrestling even further down the chain. Now, if I were them, I would look at what all the different stations are that are talking to All Elite Wrestling and approach one of the ones that does not get All Elite Wrestling and try to get on that network. But who knows? At this point, they need a TV home. And wherever that's going to be, they better get on it and get going quick, because those ratings put them in serious trouble. Somebody who's not in serious trouble, at least not physically, because he's never in the ring, is John Cena. His new gig, hosting Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader on Nickelodeon? Which is ludicrous to me because, let's face it, the guy talks about how crazy his schedule is and how much he still wants to get back in the ring and blah, blah, blah. How can you say that and you keep taking all these incredibly insane deals? You can't tell me they're paying him enough money to make it financially worthwhile. I can't see that, Nickelodeon paying that. So I don't know why he's doing it, but sounds like a lot of fun for the kids. Hopefully it's a good reboot of the show. I always love the Jeff Foxworthy version. This one, apparently, John Cena is going to be very similar to that. Very similar setup. Almost like the way they brought back Double Dare a few months ago. So we'll have to see how that turns out. WWE still planning intergender matches between Nia Jax and Dean Ambrose. Apparently, they pulled the match from the February 22nd house show that it was advertised for, but they are not closing the door on that match taking place. And there's even been some rumbling that day two of them will take place at WrestleMania. I think that's a horrible idea. However, if you think about it, what else are you going to do with Nia Jax at WrestleMania? Are you going to put her in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal like she did the Royal Rumble? Maybe even have her win that? I could see that. I'd be okay with that. But if you're not doing that, what else are you going to do with her? She's obviously not going to be in the Ronda Rousey match. She's not going to be challenging Asuka because she's on the wrong brand, unless you're going to shift her over for some reason. I still think they're going to give that either to Natty or to Alexa Bliss or somebody like that. I don't think they should do a Naomi or Carmella because they've already been in that spot and they really didn't flourish. Asuka needs a legit opponent. I think Alexa Bliss would be a legitimate opponent for her. So you're not going to put Nia Jax there. So where do you put her on the WrestleMania card? Do you leave her off the card? Are you going to give her and Tamina a shot at whoever wins the women's tag team titles at the Elimination Chamber? Spoiler alert, I'm not predicting them to win. So the reality is, what do you do with her? I think the match with Dean Ambrose would be a great match at WrestleMania. He's crazy enough to pull it off. He'd probably make it look fantastic. She's big enough to be believable. You know, she's almost like a reincarnation of Karma, or Awesome Kong, if you're familiar. And if you're not, look her up on YouTube. Amazing talent. But I think it would be actually a good idea for WrestleMania to have that match. Let's face it, somebody put on Facebook today, you know, Lucha Underground's been doing intergender matches for years, and they've been relatively successful. Go for it. Why not? If anybody could pull it off, it would be WWE. Some good news for Impact Wrestling. Eddie Edwards, he signed a new long-term deal with Impact Wrestling. It is one that will keep him with the company for the foreseeable future. That is a huge get for them, because that's somebody who easily could have been on All Elite Wrestling's radar. And to see him re-sign with the company is a huge positive for them. It means that whatever they're doing, despite the viewership, despite the change in time slot and channel and everything else, all that uncertainty, they still have enough financial stability to sign an incredible talent to a long-term deal. And that's something they need to do to take care of business. And in WWE news, the last topic of the evening, Bray Wyatt and Sin Cara, both talents, been on the shelf for quite a while now, looking like they're getting ready to come back to the ring. Both have been at the Performance Center training. I know everybody in the world seems to think Bray Wyatt was going to get a remake character. They were going to do something different totally with him. Maybe they still will. Maybe they'll pair him back up with Daniel Bryan, bring in Luke Harper to pair with Rowan and Bryan. I don't know, but what they need to do is get him on the road. This is a guy who needs to be in the ring. His character has been injured enough in the last couple years. It's time to start re-solidifying that character. Maybe this is a situation that's kind of like a few years ago. You bring him back, you align him with the Wyatt family, and you do that whole thing for a few months, and then have he and Daniel Bryan face again, this time with him as the face, Bryan as the heel, and see how that plays out. But either way, he's a good enough talent, especially on the microphone and in the ring, that he should be out there. You're missing huge pieces of your puzzle when you've got Roman Reigns out to injury, or whatever you want to call that, the leukemia, and several other stars injured. You need to have all hands on deck, especially heading into WrestleMania, and we don't have Bray Wyatt. Sin Cara, don't really miss him, don't really need him, but at the end of the day, he is a good wrestler, he has a great moveset, and I still like the rumor from a few weeks ago where he, Rey Mysterio, and Andrade would put together basically a new LWO in WWE, and recreate that Latino World Order feel. I'm okay with that, but do something with these talents. Don't let them just sit there at home and never do anything. It's really getting sad. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us in the next episode. We'll run down all the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, goes out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com. They produce all the music and sound effects we use in our shows. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen to pick up your copy. And to alleyrepair.com. Contact Alley Repair today for servicing all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. If you're looking for your next career move, maybe you're considering college, university life, or maybe what you really need is just some new training for that next career decision, go to our sister website at frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs, as FroLife Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with FroLife. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us tonight. And if you want more wrestling news and rumors, like I said before, go to www.tsj101sports.com for their latest articles on the world of pro wrestling, or go to my blog, In Fro's Corner, located on frowrestling.com. Make sure you call into the Sound Off line, 267-642-1160. Get us some questions and comments for a future episode, and make sure you check out the Independent Wrestling Events tab on frowrestling.com to find great wrestling coming to an area near you. Until next time, take care, everybody. Have a great night.